SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. It is our third and final hour of this Friday of this week here on TEL. But there is so much to get to in these next 58 minutes as we continue to set the stage for the weekend. A full Friday slate around Major League Baseball. You'll get all of Donnie's handicaps on the other side of this break and through the first half hour of this final hour. And then we will preview what we have in store, a doubleheader in the NBA playoffs, a doubleheader on the ice in the Stanley Cup postseason in this third hour as well. What a Friday we have, DRS, in the sports landscape.
Yep, we're going to save the best for last with the Pasquatch today for the Kansas City Royals late night out west. We got a lot of stuff. And also, our job here sometimes on Friday. Sure, Thursdays are big. You want to look back. Fridays tonight, we have unbelievable stuff in the NHL, Major League Baseball, and also the NBA. But also, getting you ready for this weekend, man. What a big weekend in sports. We got 1 hour to go to sort of prep the people and get them ready. And also, win some money today. Let's do it.
Absolutely so. So, Donnie, last night in the NBA, a doubleheader of action. Of course, one very stunning result. The other one slightly less surprising, but still an upset by the underdog. That's the Dallas Mavericks in Oklahoma City. But the stunning result was a 24-point win for the Cleveland Cavaliers over the Boston Celtics in Beantown inside TD Garden. 46 home games for the Seas this year. Last night, only their sixth loss, and Cleveland wins outright by 24, booked as a 13-point dog. Does it change our mind on Boston? Does it change the evaluation of the Celtics as a true NBA title contender? That was the question in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, will the Celtics win the 2024 NBA championship? Now, Boston remains an odds-on favorite, but the public ain't laying that minus money price, it would seem, at this moment. Nearly 74% of the public, Donnie, saying no, the Celtics will not win the 2024 NBA title. Which way did you vote?
I voted for yes, so I'm part of the Fade the Public crew at 26%. I've been saying all year long, I thought the Boston Celtics were the best overall team, and just because they lost a game on their home court here to Cleveland, to not lose the series, but just tie the series up at 1-1, I'm not going to change my opinion, which I love these polls that come out the day after something happens negatively, and still asking if you're still positive on that team that had the negative last night, which was the Celtics losing their game. So you try to equate it moving forward. What happens if tonight the Minnesota Timberwolves, favored over the Nuggets, lose that game? We said all the way out on the Timberwolves because, they're supposed to get a sweep over the Denver Nuggets. No, we're not here. So I'm not going to change my opinion at this point, but I can't believe that three quarters of the votes in this poll are going towards the no at this point based on one game. Or is it, we didn't like that they didn't sweep the Miami Heat in round number one? I can't believe it's this much of an overreaction, because when you look at the sports book, which includes FanDuel, they're not panicked here on the Celtics not winning an NBA championship as still being the heavy favorite. I don't know why the public is so panicked right now with this.
Yeah, Donnie, I think it's a great point that you bring up. Is it a one-game aberration, or is it something that exposes a bigger issue? I actually kind of lean with the latter, and this is from me, a guy that bet Boston to win the NBA title because I thought the odds were starting to stack up for the Celtics in a favorable way with looking early at their postseason path in the final month of the NBA regular season. I bet the Celtics to win the NBA championship this year at a plus 220 price back on March 20th. Boston is in minus money. I'm being offered cash out options at a pretty good clip, but I still expect to take that price into an NBA finals and find my hedge out opportunity. And that still is my plan and does not change even after losing game number two last night against Cleveland. But we have now seen this in two consecutive series where Boston has taken one for granted. The Celtics do something unexpected, and it's almost like, all right, we'll win it in five. At a certain point, in my estimation, that is going to catch up with you. Maybe not against the Eastern Conference teams that remain. Certainly not here, at least in my expectation or the odds makers, as Boston is still a minus 1,200 favorite to win this series outright over Cleveland in the series against the Cavaliers. But when it comes to the end goal of winning the Larry O'Brien Trophy in an NBA title, which is how we are going to judge Boston, not getting through the Eastern Conference, but actually winning an NBA championship, the idea that they can have an off night and it's just kind of what Boston does is not going to do well for them. It is not going to stand the test of time. And somebody from the Western Conference, any of those four teams left standing, I think will take advantage of it. That's why I have some concern, and it's why I voted no. The Celtics will not win an NBA title.
I would be on the opposite end of this equation if we were knowing that the Boston Celtics, once they got to the NBA Finals, Ben, didn't have home court advantage. That's such a big ace, you know, in the hole for them, because when you talk about winning on your home court, we know what they've done in the regular season. And quite frankly, I don't think they should have lost game number two as a 14-point favorite or also a double-digit favorite in game number two in their first round against the Miami Heat. They probably shouldn't have, but I'm just trying to equate it to, when are they getting that challenge? And again, it just gets back to the same thing with the fan base. Yeah, you're going to enjoy this playoff run, but you're really waiting for the contest of who's going to step up, which is why I point to next round. Let's just say OG Anunoby heals up and he's ready for the next round, which would be against the Boston Celtics. Brunson doesn't have that foot injury. It goes away. They win handily, let's just say, in six games against Indiana. They'll be excited for that series, but also, what are the expectations that we have coming into the playoffs, Ben, with some of these NBA teams? We know they're really good. Like, did we think that it should be sweep, sweep, sweep all the way through the Eastern Conference before the Celtics got to the finals? Like, okay, now we can trust them. Like, no, we know they're a good team. You're going to lose. Other teams are going to have great nights here of shooting. That's why it's a seven-game series, not a one-game series where, oh, no, the Celtics, if they played that in game number one of a one-game series, they would already be out. I'm not worried about that. Porzingis will be back. That depth is there. The Celtics will be just fine.
So you're right. Are they going to win all 12 games they play up until the NBA championship series? 12 games up, 12 victories? More than likely not. Even against the shorthanded Heat or the shorthanded Cavaliers, that at least based on the odds makers approach, and as we see it here, far inferior opponents to the NBA's best team all year long in Boston. But to lose game number two by 10 to Miami or game number two by 24 to Cleveland, booked as a 13-point favorite, yeah, it's slightly concerning. This is not a drag-it-out type series like the Knicks and the Sixers that we expect it to be a toss-up, or even Oklahoma City and Dallas, the number one seed in the Western Conference. That's the Thunder. The way that they have lost these game twos in each of these two series, it's almost like they take it for granted. And that is what concerns me. Boston has played seven playoff games in this postseason run. They have won five. They have lost two. All five victories by at least 14 points. All five victories a cover as well, at least as a double-digit favorite. But the two losses have also come as at least a 13-point favorite and at least by 10 points. Last night, 24 at home against Cleveland. And to your point, which is part of my equation and my handicap as well for the Celtics at home, 40-6. Straight up this year inside TD Garden. But in these playoff runs, the last three postseasons, just 14-14, where maybe home floor advantage is not as strong of a handicap in the Celtics' favor as we once perceived.
No, it seems like that right now, because we can only go on what we've seen here. Inferior opponents on their home court that you easily would decimate in the regular season, getting the better of you, and quite frankly, doing some historic things like shooting the lights out, which you're not supposed to do on the road. Typically, you would do that at home. We'll see how it plays forward. And also, a lot of these issues will be quelled in game number three if the Celtics do return, and let's just say get a double-digit victory in game number three. But if they don't, I would love to see a seven-game series, because I love adversity here, and I love more content and the fun of it here, as opposed just sweeping it all the way through. But this poll shows, once again, the public is very panicked on the Boston Celtics winning a championship, even though throughout the entire season and right now, a heavy favorite to do that in on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
And that's a great point. The public panicked. The odds makers are not. Boston remains an odds-on favorite to win the NBA championship. Major League Baseball previews on this Friday up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A full Friday slate around Major League Baseball. That means 15 games on this Friday, all 30 Major League Baseball clubs in action. It is a good day on the diamond, and allow myself and Donnie Wrightside, mainly Donnie Wrightside, to find you some value for these MLB daily plays in the daily diamond dash. So the Yankees win 2 of 3 against the Houston Astros, but unable to complete the sweep yesterday at home, falling in the finale 4-3. Now the Yanks leave the Bronx and head on the road to the Trop for a divisional duel this weekend against Tampa. But the Yankees are a favorite today, minus 138. Wow. Just literally right as I was saying, it became minus 126 live on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The over-under is 8. What is your expectation, DRS, for this Trop stop today?
Sometimes always tough to handicap a pitcher coming onto the scene this year. Todd Bradley was one of those pitchers that you looked for here for Tampa Bay as one of the next upcoming superstars, and it's sort of been derailed a little bit by injury and also last season, 460 batters and a 238 ISO power number to weighted on base percentage of 348. Hasn't worked out for him. The one thing that we do like here is that you take a look at New York. They love to hit against right-handed pitching. If we take a look at the first six guys in that lineup, Anthony Volpe has a 135 ISO power number against right-handed pitching. After that, though, Soto, 333, Judge, 228, Verdugo, 246, Giancarlo Stanton, 283, and Anthony Rizzo, a 250. So they line up quite nicely here. But for my money here, it's always hard to say how that pitcher is going to do when we don't have a backlog this season on exactly what we can anticipate. Yeah. Let's flip it over to the other side. Clark Schmidt on the mound, an okay pitcher for the Yankees. This year, through 153 batters faced, it's a 183 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 344. So he's right about average. But the one thing, if you are a Yankee fan, that you would like is Tampa Bay doesn't have that great of a lineup, which is typically on a year-to-year basis. Sometimes they get hot, sometimes they're okay, but not a lot of power in there. And also, we're not in the Bronx, which means that 315-foot home run down the line gets out of there. This is a place notorious where you have to absolutely hit a bomb to get it out of the Trop. So today, I take a look at this number and probably lean more towards on the under than a side itself here, Ben.
And that total at 8 as of this moment. We go from Tampa to Baltimore. Brandon Pfaadt on the bump for the Arizona Diamondbacks, taking on Cole Irvin for the O's. The D-backs yesterday completing the sweep on the road in Cincinnati against the Reds. The reigning NL pennant winners have won 4 in a row. The O's, though, looking good at the top of the American League East, minus 134 in favor of Baltimore today in Camden. Total also at 8. A Baltimore bash on this Friday. What do you like?
Here's the issues about this. 54 degrees, wind blowing in about 8 to 9 miles an hour from center field, so it doesn't help. But if we take a look at a pitching matchup, Brandon Pfaadt last year, 509 batters faced. Of those, 236 were left-handed batters. A 245 ISO and a 362 weighted on base percentage. If we translate that to this year, Ben, 52 batters he's faced from the left-hand side, still struggling here. 227 ISO, which is elevated. Weighted on base percentage, 402. That's terrible. And we know that the Baltimore Orioles can get down with left-handed bats. Gunnar Henderson, a 258 ISO power number against right-handed pitching this year. Ryan O'Hearn, a 264 against right-handed pitching this year. Kowser, 314 ISO power number. Mullins, 222. Lefties are where you want to approach some RBI props today for those Baltimore Orioles. But also, flip it to the other side. Cole Irvin, not really a household name, your average run-of-the-mill pitcher, but not that way this year, Ben. 137 batters he's faced this year, walk percentage only 5% combined, so he's not giving those free passes here. ISO power number, 101, weighted on base percentage, 272. I give the edge today to the Baltimore Orioles because I actually think they have the pitching matchup in their hand and also the batters in the lineup, particularly those left-handed batters, should be able to do some damage.
So now we go to Detroit, where the Tigers take on the Astros. Can Houston start to stack up a couple of wins? Framber Valdez makes his fifth start of the season. Was not great in his last one. The opening one in May did allow 5 earned against the Seattle Mariners. But again, it's a big spot for the Stros. They are still 11 games below 500. And when you're favored with your ace on the bump in Framber Valdez, this is a game you are expected and more than likely should win. Minus 134, the price in favor of Houston.
Yeah, taking a look at Valdez on the year, only 94 batters faced, but he does have a high weighted on base percentage, Ben, combined with righty and lefty batters at a 361. But those power numbers, the ISO power numbers, they're below average at a 134, so that should help. A couple of really good batters in the lineup, which I know a lot of people might not be betting Detroit on a day-to-day basis, but when you take a look at left-handed pitching, who they're going to go up against today, some guys in that lineup from the right-hand side that can do some damage. Andy Ibañez, a 583 ISO power number. Now, granted, he just came off the IL and only has 12 at-bats against lefties, but he's been surging there. Wencel Perez, 250 ISO power number. Take a look at Riley Green, 250 ISO power number. Torkelson, 222. Baez even at a 273. So some things are looking up from that lineup. But what are we going to get out of Casey Mize, the starting pitcher we're anticipating here for the Detroit Tigers? If we take a look at 139 batters he's faced this year, Ben, ISO power number, 076. Weighted on base percentage, 292. This is leaning me towards an under today in this game, Ben.
I'm actually a little bit surprised the RS. The total is not lower than 8. It is at 8 right now between Valdez and Mize. The Minnesota Twins playing some great baseball. 6-12 middle of April from that point. They have won 16 of their last 19. They scored 11 yesterday in their series finale against the Seattle Mariners to win that set during the midweek, 3-1. Now the Twins go on the road to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays tonight up in the 6, and as we see this price, it's nearly a pick'em today in Toronto. Minus 112, slightly in favor of the Jays. Total at 7.5. It's a virtual pick'em. Who wins this game in Toronto?
You say Kikuchi over his career, been a decent pitcher. This year, 162 batters faced, Ben. He's been really good. An 099 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage, 277. Take a look at his K rate, 26.5%, which is phenomenal. And his walk rate is only at 5.6%. They should have some problems there in the Minnesota lineup. But let's flip it over and take a look at the pitcher on the opposite side. It's Joe Ryan. Last year wasn't very good. This year, he actually has some mixed results here. Gets a lot of strikeouts, 28%, which is great. Walk rate only 3.7%. That's phenomenal. His ISO power number combined at a 168, that's pretty good, and a weighted on base percentage of 285. He does get into a little bit of trouble with right-handed batters with that ISO power number at a 230. But once again, looking at this game overall, forgetting about a side, this game to me once plays towards an under, which is sort of that theme for those first couple games we looked at. It's a couple games later that we should be able to get on those overs, but early on here, looking under in this game as well.
A few more divisional duels to look at on this full Friday slate in Major League Baseball. We'll do that on the other side of the break, live right here on this Friday on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A couple of divisional duels to preview to set the stage for the start of the weekend around Major League Baseball. A Southern California contest tonight and for the next few days in San Diego between the Padres and the Dodgers. LA with their ace on the bump, Tyler Glasnow, booked as a pretty hefty road favorite tonight in San Diego, minus 180. Total, 7.5, but it's sunny Southern California. We got to see some runs tonight, no?
I don't know if we see some runs here from the Padres. I like both of these lineups coming into it, but Glasnow, certainly the ace of the staff right now for the Los Angeles Dodgers, a K percentage of close to 35%, which means, look, 35% of the guys aren't even getting the bat on the baseball. Good luck, and you can figure out what the rest of his numbers are. So maybe he has a high walk rate. He doesn't. It's only 5%. Look at the ISO power number, 145. Weighted on base percentage, 248. Good luck in that Padres lineup getting a lot of base hits tonight out of Glasnow. Now let's take a look at Michael King. Last year, 430 batters he faced. He was very good. A 121 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 283, which included, Ben, absolute dominance as a right-handed pitcher against left-handed batters. That's changed a little bit this year. K percentage of lefties, under 20%. Walk rate to lefties, Ben, 13%. Both of those elevated, along with an ISO power number of 194 and a weighted on base percentage of 354, which means you are circling the wagons right now on the 2 and 3 hole hitters. That's Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman, both left-handed batters going up against King. Against right-handed pitching this year, Ohtani a 442 ISO, and Freddie Freeman here at a 250 ISO. Also, Muncy in that 5-hole, a 500 ISO power number against right-handed pitching. And that's not through like 7 or 8 or 10 at-bats, Ben. That's through 61 at-bats. Damage should be done by those three guys. The high price that you're going to pay for the Dodgers probably warranted tonight, but if you're just looking for RBI props, look for those lefties in the lineup, Ohtani, Freeman, and Max Muncy right in the middle.
The Dodgers, winners of seven straight, the hottest team in MLB, the longest active win streak, 26-13, is that record for LA, tied for second best in all of MLB, only behind the Philadelphia Phillies. The Padres, the only other team without a losing record in the National League West. San Diego, an even 500 at 20-20. But as we stay in Southern California, the question must be asked, Donnie, at this point, do our producers hate us? Do our producers not know who we are? That would be the Vinny P fan club, the Pasquatch fan club. That's Vinny Pasquantino and the Kansas City Royal. A natural transition from Southern California in San Diego, just up I-5 to Anaheim, where the Royals play the Angels today. No slotted in part in the rundown for it to recap Vinny P's 3 RBI performance last night against the Halos. You have to ask the question, Donnie, with the Royals a -124 moneyline road favorite again today against the Angels in Anaheim. Do our producers even care about us?
No, I mean, especially, Ben, you being a monster Angels fan growing up your entire life, this should absolutely be included here. Your favorite team versus your favorite player tonight, going toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
And by the way,
I'll take that.
Let's let the cat out of the bag right now. Griffin Canning on the mound today, really struggling against left-handed batters. Oh, the sweet science just going around in my head right now going, oh, you know who's a left-handed batter? I just can't quite think. Oh, that's Vinny P out here with a solid 292 ISO and a 411 weighted on base percentage against right-handed pitching. Tonight is the night, people. You want to go one RBI? You want to go home run? You want to go two RBIs? Vinny will take you over the top tonight. He will not let you down here on a Friday night when typically out there, Friday is payday. Vinny P understands that. He should be able to come through tonight, but they're right about that. It's the perfect matchup for our guy, Vinny P, the Pasquatch in the middle of that lineup tonight. Tonight, Ben.
Plus 120 for the Pasquatch to record an RBI. I'll take that each and every day. That will be the best bet from both Donnie and I for this Friday slate in Major League Baseball. Now we go back to the divisional duels that we have on this Friday and this weekend at Citi Field. The Mets play host to the Atlanta Braves. The Braves, a short two-game set, and they got back to Atlanta this week and won both, a -154 road money line favorite now in New York tonight. Will the good times continue for the Braves at Citi Field?
I'll tell you, not a good time here for the weather condition or the fans here, Ben. Under 50 degrees at first pitch, rain coming down, wind blowing in from right field. So generally, you probably are starting to think to an under, rightfully so. Charlie Morton, a veteran here, 144 batters faced this year. ISO 125, weighted on base percentage, 294. He's been really good. A lineup that's starting to come alive here for the New York Mets. But again, how much you're going to do in cold, rainy temperatures with the wind blowing in. Flip it over to the Braves side. Quintana's been great against right-handed batters, but terrible against lefties. But Quintana's a lefty. You're probably only going to get one or two lefties in the lineup today for those Atlanta Braves. Cold weather conditions. Don't love the runs here. Probably more of an under look for me.
We'll see if we even play that game. A lot of rain here in the greater New York City area. NBA preview up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A doubleheader of NBA playoff action on this Friday night. We start with the second game of the two. That is game number three tonight in Minneapolis as the Timberwolves head home. Feeling pretty good, a 2-0 series lead over Denver. But game number two was on Monday. A lot of time for both of these clubs to reassess, make their adjustments, and get ready for game number three on this Friday night in the Twin Cities. Minnesota booked as a 4.5-point favorite. The total is at 205. It is the lowest over-under, even up by a hook, we have seen so far out of any of these three games to begin this series.
Yeah, and this is one of those where you typically say to yourself, right, how many times have you heard coaches and players say this? Boy, once you get your tail kicked, you want to get back on that court as soon as possible to get that bad taste out of your mouth. I actually think the opposite in this scenario. You take a look at the Denver Nuggets at home, didn't play all that well. in the first two games against Minnesota. I think this rest is actually good for them to recalibrate, get around as a team, watch some extra film, maybe get a little bit more healthy and head into this one. Because quite frankly, if they would have played 2 days later, you probably would have been looking at 3-0 and away you go to a 4-0 series sweep. I think that actually helped the Denver Nuggets when typically we always think it's the opposite at this point. Now, when you go to the FanDuel Sportsbook, Benny, take a look at the player points perspective here and what we anticipate. Nikola Jokic is at 29.5 again, rightfully so. Didn't play all that well in game number two and just missed out on the triple-double, which, hint, I'm going to be back on that triple-double market for Jokic. But as you scroll down on who's available tonight, Ben, do you know who's missing from that Denver lineup right now? That's Jamal Murray. And that is key because if you can factor on the Nuggets, we know how good they are, how well coached they are. They won a championship last year. They're battle tested. If they're coming into this game 100%, you're pretty confident. Not only can they win this basketball game, but stay within 5 points. If you tell me tonight, we're going to get maybe a minutes restriction on Jamal Murray, or he's not going to play. This series is basically a wrap at this point, and that can't come at the worst time. It's almost the exact opposite of what we're getting out of the Knicks. The Knicks are up 2-0. They can afford some of these games to rest their players, not be 100%, and take losses because they'll still be in control. You can't have that from a Denver side. If you're coming into this game banged up, already down 0-2, and all that momentum on Minnesota as is, boy, that can't hold up for you. So it almost feels like to me, is it Nikola Jokic has to go 35-20-15 for them to hang around? It feels that way for me, Ben.
Yeah, probably so, DRS. The triple-double prop for Nikola Jokic tonight is plus 200. As Donnie said, he barely missed a triple-double, two assists shy of getting to that mark, despite not playing all that well. 5 of 13 from the floor, 16 points, 16 boards. He has not been nearly as efficient in this series or really the postseason as he was during the regular season, but was just named MVP for the third time in the last four NBA campaigns. Jamal Murray was atrocious in game number two on Monday night. 3 of 18 from the floor, only 8 points. Nearly had as many things thrown onto the floor at referees, 2 as he had made field goals, 3 in game number two. But to Donnie's point, no points prop listed as of this moment for Jamal Murray. Now, the Minnesota Timberwolves have played 6 games in this NBA postseason. Minnesota has won all 6. They have been an underdog in their most recent 4, the final 2 against Phoenix, the first 2 against Denver. They have won outright in each. The Timberwolves are a 4.5-point favorite and more than likely expect Rudy Gobert back tonight for game number 3. Of course, he was absent from game number 2, attending to the birth of his first child. He's back tonight. Now, Donnie, we're talking about this game from the Denver perspective. This is the last stand, in my opinion, for the Nuggets in this year. Did you laugh because my voice cracked? Is that why you laughed?
No, I didn't, but I'll laugh now. Oh. There you go.
Okay, very good stuff. This is the last stand for the Denver Nuggets in this series. It's why I am buying in with a Nuggets ticket to win the Western Conference and to win this series into that money line price as the underdog. I don't care if they cover and lose by 3. They got to win this game outright. If you think Denver covers, bet the money line price here in this must win, can't lose game number 3. But we're looking at it from the Denver perspective to keep this game close and to keep this series even somewhat competitive. And maybe not correctly at the right side, that is the T-Wolves, who have been nothing but sensational here to begin this playoff run.
Yeah, and that's what you're sort of fighting against, too. It's not just you're saying to yourself, like, oh, we know the Denver Nuggets have it in them to come back. But sometimes you take a look at a team like, okay, we blew those first 2 games. Coming into the playoffs here, the T-Wolves, again, disrespected against the Suns at that plus 114 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook, end up sweeping the Suns. And here they are in round number 2 and on the verge, I guess you could say, of sweeping the Nuggets because both of these teams are at home in their own building, which are going to be favored, Ben, in both of those games. If we take a look and say, you know, which way is the betting public going in this? We told you already, it's still going to be a slight lean towards the Timberwolves because of what we've seen in the first 2 games.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm looking forward to in this game is if I can see, right, again, we always talk about this, the way you can have those betting advantages. Before the game, pre-flop, hey, I love Denver. Oh, no, Jamal Murray doesn't look like he's even half of himself out there. They're going to get beat. But if Jamal Murray's in this game, like we saw Luka Doncic last night, what did I talk about with Luka last night? Hey, what happens if Luka starts that game and hits a couple threes, which is exactly what he did? That's a good omen here for the Mavericks who won that game last night. Same experience for me tonight on Jamal Murray. If we see him early and often here knocking down his open jump shots, because he's going to have a lot of those here, that also means the assists will go up for Nikola Jokic if you're trying to look at the triple-double. But if we're just looking at pregame here, right, you look at that line, it makes sense here. And yes, Minnesota should be favored by about 5 points, because when you're looking at that Denver lineup intact, if it was 100% healthy, this is a completely different scenario for me. But this game is going to go two ways for me, Ben. This has the makings of we're getting busted out in the first half, no doubt about it, and it's a wrap. Or this game is going to be a couple-point lead for one team, couple-point lead by this team in the second quarter, and vice versa all the way through. But this has two vibes for me. Either we're close and maybe you get a Nuggets victory, or we might be looking at a laugher by late third quarter. It's hard to say that, though, with the Nuggets and how good they actually are. But sometimes environments dictate what's going to take place. It's going to be a wild atmosphere for Minnesota. And also, what are we getting out of Jamal Murray? That's the big question mark.
Not only have the Timberwolves won their last four games as an underdog outright, they also won and covered in their first two in Minneapolis against Phoenix, winning both of those games by double digits, including, as things stood, that opening game of the postseason by 25 against the Suns. So the Timberwolves have won all six playoff games, have covered in all six as well. Different story for the Nuggs, who have been down to the break in six of their seven postseason games. They have not covered in five of the seven postseason games, but did win outright in their only game booked as a very slight underdog. And I mean a 1 point line and a couple of cents on the money line in game number three in Los Angeles against the Lakers. I also want to focus on the total briefly here. Both of the first two games, 209 and a hook from that over under perspective, now at 205, both of the first two games stay under. Denver hasn't reached the century mark yet in this series. 99 in game number one, 80 in game number two. Minnesota has scored exactly 106 in each of the first two games in this series, and Anthony Edwards scored 43 in game number one, at 27 in game number two. The Ant-Man's prop tonight is 27.5. You know he is going to flirt with that number once again.
Oh, absolutely. And also, if you're trying to correlate that total, right, 205, if Denver's going to win this, it feels like it has to be an under game, specifically with the outcome we don't know technically of Jamal Murray. If this game goes over the total, that's going to benefit Minnesota, because the one thing we are, you know, keeping under wraps, that game number two with how dominant Minnesota was on defense was without the defensive player of the year even playing there, which he's going to be back tonight. That's an extra boom right there. So they are back whole and intact. This is a tough hill to climb for the Denver Nuggets at this point, which is why their price point for the series and also to win the West and the NBA odds are going in the opposite direction. They haven't even played in a couple days here. Let's see what happens here, but things aren't aligning for the Denver Nuggets to make a back-to-back run here. No doubt about that.
Without Rudy Gobert, who became the third NBA player in history to win four Defensive Player of the Year awards, Minnesota held Denver to 80 points and the Nuggets shot worse than 35% from the floor. That needs to drastically alter tonight. The Nuggets team total 100 and a hook. You would expect them to go over if they are going to win this game outright and keep it close. Game three in Indianapolis next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We started our doubleheader preview of this Friday in the NBA postseason with the second game, the nightcap of this Friday night in Minnesota. Now we go to the first game of the evening in Indianapolis between the Pacers and the Knicks. New York up 2-0, holding serve inside Madison Square Garden in two wild games that came down to the wire in both. Indiana not happy with the officiating, but the New York Knicks have a 2-0 series advantage. When you look at the eight playoff games that New York has now played, all eight decided by 11 points or fewer, seven of the eight decided by single digits. Might we expect more close competition tonight in Indy? Well, the line is seven in favor of the Pacers. Part of that is the uncertain injury status around Jalen Brunson. The other part is the absence tonight of OG Anunoby, ruled out for game number three by New York with a left hamstring injury. How does it affect your estimation and evaluation, Donnie, of this third game tonight?
Oh, it's massive. It really is, because we don't know what we're expecting still greatness out of Brunson, and he's being priced accordingly that way. But at the same time, you know that he's going to be affected here if you have a foot injury. Has anybody ever had an injury that, and granted, you said, well, Donnie, he did sit out the second quarter and came back for the second half and looked fine. But also, you can get medication at that point. The swelling is not all there. You wait 24 hours. That foot looks completely different from just the night before that you played on. That's something to keep an eye on. But also, OG Anunoby, coming into his own with his best performance in the playoffs last game, he's not going to be available. So automatically you're saying, all right, my superstar player is banged up. One of my star players that I lean on is not going to play there tonight. We're going from our home court arena to an away arena, which would be a much more hostile environment than what you see in Madison Square Garden. How does that actually equate? And also, I'm interested to see this. You saw the final score of game number two. It was high, and rightfully so. That's a typical Pacers game. A lot of points here, a lot of fun, a lot of prop bets. We see that 223 price tonight instead of ourselves. All right. Now you're down an extra score for the Knicks, and your superstar player is down, and you're on the road. So more of effect, forget about the point spread, which is always going to change. I'm always interested in how we actually look at the total itself, because that 223, I don't know if that tempo is going to be there for this game from a Knicks side, and if that's the style that you want to engage against the Pacers, knowing you're banged up with Brunson and also without OG Anunoby.
That was my point as well, Donnie. Both of the totals in this series have skied over the number. We saw 251 combined points in game number two inside Madison Square Garden. Game number one's total, I believe, was 217 and a hook. Game number two, about 219, and both go over. We are now up to 223. And you might be able to make the argument that Indiana continues to push pace. If you're looking at the Pacers, who have gone over in six of their eight playoff games, same story for New York. All four wins for Indiana in their first round series against Milwaukee, including all three games in Indy, hit the over, because that's how the Pacers like to play their basketball. Up tempo, scoring a ton in terms of their offensive output. So Indiana has a 7-point favorite tonight, expected to win this game. You would then think, all right, well, the Pacers are going to control the tempo. Maybe so. I'm just not so sure that New York has enough offensive output if Jalen Brunson is not fully healthy and without OG Anunoby, who before he left game number two in that third quarter, putting on one of his best postseason performances of his career, 28 points, four made threes. He left with about 3 minutes left in that third quarter.
Yeah, and you're taking a look at only four guys right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook showing up under the player points props, which is always a little bit alarming because we don't know how to price that market, let's just say, on Jalen Brunson. DiVincenzo at 20.5 points, Hartenstein at 11.5. You take a look at Josh Hart, 17.5, and then obviously, here you go, Miles McBride coming in here at 10.5 points. Who's going to buy on that guy? He's been absolutely MIA as of late. But also, some of the times we equate it, Ben, and it seems easy, right? Like, okay, OG Anunoby's not there. He scored close to 30 points last game. So there's going to be some points to go around. Brunson is a little bit banged up. Maybe he doesn't play 45 minutes tonight, only plays 35 minutes tonight, which means extra shots. That doesn't always equate to actual usage rate and also, you know, scoring points. Because you might look at it and say, like, Anunoby's down, Brunson's down. Well, yeah, DiVincenzo's going to step up. He's got to get into the 20s. Man, that's easier said than done. You don't think the Indiana Pacers know that? Those guys are banged up and how they're going to adjust their defense, where it's not just wide open 3-point shot left and right. So you do have to go down the list, but I still do love Hartenstein, because last game we talked about that same price point, 11.5. He went over it. He's not going to get a lot of usage rate, but usage rate when we're talking about shooting the baskets, but he will be out there for just about 40 to 45 minutes tonight because they don't have anybody else. So just by default, cleaning up some rebounds, getting some layups, getting fouled and getting to the free throw line, that's the guy that sticks out to me, because whether or not Brunson is injured in Anunoby, it doesn't affect Hartenstein's offensive game plan. They're not drawing up plays for Hartenstein in big moments to shoot, but theoretically, you would do that for DiVincenzo and Hart, but now, again, the Pacers know that as well and will combat that. So maybe Hartenstein, again, to go over his points prop like it did last game, we'll do that again tonight.
Donnie, I think it's a really good point you just made. Who steps up in the absence of Jalen Brunson? Deuce McBride has done absolutely nothing and has barely played in the last three games or so for the New York Day. But his points prop is up. It was 9.5 in game six against Philly. It was 9.5 for both of the opening two games of this series. Now 10.5. Again, it's the odds maker saying, well, if Brunson's not there, somebody's got to fill in the scoring output. Why exactly is it Deuce McBride? Josh Hart's points prop is up to 17.5. He's gone over that number in both of the first two games of this series. Tay-Tay at 20 in a hook. He has found the three-point stroke from deep now here as of late. At least five triples in each of the past three playoff games for New York. But part of that is because of all that Jalen Brunson does. In all of the focus that he gets paid from Indiana defensively. Game number two, he misses the entirety of the second quarter. It was the first game in this postseason for New York that Brunson did not attempt at least 26 field goals, and he still shot 18 times from the floor, 11 of 18 for 29 points. Without that attention there, it's not like, all right, Tay-Tay's taking over in iso ball. He's going off for 35 tonight if New York can keep this thing within 7 points. If Jalen Brunson does not play, and I expect him to, but if Jalen Brunson is hobbled, it makes what the New York Knicks want to do offensively so much more different. And we'll continue the conversation as well as give you a best bet on the other side of the break live right here on the Early Line, setting the stage for a doubleheader of NBA playoff action tonight in the Association. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we continue to preview the doubleheader of NBA playoff action before we give you a best bet on this Friday to send you in to your weekend. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And Donnie, you just brought up this point that if Jalen Brunson does not play tonight, or if maybe he's not 100% effective and healthy in game number three against Indiana, again, no points props or any props listed yet for Jalen Brunson for this third game tonight. It changes everything the New York Knicks want to do offensively because he is their main focus, also the main focus of Indiana's defense. A ton of adjustments will be had if Jalen Brunson does not play. So let me ask you this, DRS. If Brunson is ruled out for game number three tonight, what does the spread look like in favor of Indiana?
I mean, to be honest, it's got to be at least double digits. So we're looking at 7 now. It's got to be at least 10 because that almost signifies that it's one thing to have like a best player out, which is never a good thing. But I don't know if we've seen like the Knicks with Brunson out because he's basically playing every minute of every game and being the dominant player. Sure. Like who could actually step up in that moment? Nobody's going to retake Brunson, but then you're down Ananobi. That feels like it could be like a 25 point victory for Indianapolis because who is actually going to be available for the Knicks? That is something to keep an eye on because I do think they win by 7 tonight with Brunson in or out. Brunson out. It's almost like you're waving the white flag tonight.
100%. Listen, the Knicks are shorthanded in this postseason. Well before, no Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson out the remainder of this playoff run. OG Anunoby is ruled out tonight. Status in question for games 4 and 5 and maybe beyond if we get to that point. But as Dr. Donnie has told you, hamstring injuries are not easy to return from. CP the franchise said it. We're not sure we're going to see OG Anunoby the rest of this series or what that looks like if the Knicks are able to move past Indiana into the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in nearly 2.5 decades since 2000. So now we look to Indiana's side of things. Of course, Tyrese Halliburton, awful in game number one, only 6 points, bounces back for a 34-point performance, albeit in a loss against New York in game number two. His points prop for that second game was 16.5. Now it's 19 and a hook tonight. So if Indiana does win rather comfortably against the Knickerbockers tonight, DRS, who do you look to have a big night?
I mean, I do think the one thing I'll preface this by saying this. I love the hot hand, right? Yeah. I love a guy that's going to make, hey, I just made 7 3-point shots the night before. We know how professional athletes work. He doesn't say like, okay, I made 7 the other night. I don't really feel like shooting them tonight. I'll save it from the next game. No, they probably shoot 14 3-point shots the next night. So I look at Tyrese Halliburton and that 19.5 at a +100 price here and say to myself, that's the guy I look forward to because aren't we asking for him to step up his offensive game? He did that in game number two. Now they're coming home for game number three. 3. I look for the same thing, that regular season pre-injury Tyrese Halliburton we're trying to get back to. That's my guy I focus on. But if you say, okay, Donnie, give me one more player, it's easier. It's Pascal Siakam, 21.5 points. That's one of those guys, Ben, I can easily see at the break tonight, 15 points in his home environment and then rolling there. So those are the two guys I look for. And no surprise, they're two superstars. But if we want to go to a B-roll player, you scroll all the way down and say to yourself, TJ McConnell, 10.5 points. He's got 10 or more points over the past three games, but playing a minimum, Ben, 22, 23, 24 minutes. And as we know, if they're up late in this game, McConnell's going to close this game out. Not a big three-point shooter, but 10.5 points, I think he gets the double digits tonight.
I look to the bench for Indiana as well. In fact, I'll do that in our best bet. So before we say farewell and before we say goodbye for the weekend, we give you a best bet on this Friday. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. What is Donnie's best bet on this Friday?
Look, it's easy to say. Everybody's best bet is Vinny P. We're going to be on that train tonight for an RBI. We don't have to 100%. Waste that. That's not even a bonus pick. That's what it's understood that he's the guy. But tonight, I'm actually going to go to Christian Yelich here for the Milwaukee Brewers at home tonight. Plus 150 price actually just changed to a plus 145 because the people out there knew what was coming at FanDuel that your boy was leaning in here on Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
You take a look at him as a left-handed batter, a 375 ISO power number against right-handed pitching. Granted, it is only limited at bats, but Lance Lynn last year struggled with lefties, and this year struggling with lefties as well. That's a good-looking lineup tonight. Give me Yelich to get an RBI plus 145 right now live on FanDuel.
You mentioned TJ McConnell for Indiana in game number three tonight. The Pacers bench outscored the New York Knicks because of the lack of depth right now for the shorthanded Knicks. 46-12 in game two, led by Obi Toppin, who had 20. His points prop tonight, 10.5, a number he has gone over in six straight games. I like the over for a seventh consecutive time. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for this week on the Early Line. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend.